New Year's Eve, the final day of this year, 2023. We appreciate your presence with us. I'm going to read to you our motto text for this year, the encouragement that has been. We pray that even in this Sabbath morning it might be an encouragement to your heart as you look back over this year and all your service for the Master. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which ye have showed towards his name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. Even over the last year, it's easy for us to forget the things we have done ourselves, all the work that we've been involved in. But what an encouragement that the Lord does not forget. He never forgets our service. And one of the things he does is records it. And one day he will reward us all for everything that we have sought to do for him. So we pray that that knowledge will be an encouragement to your heart again this Sabbath morning. 727 is our opening hymn. Standing at the portal of the opening year, words of comfort meet us, hushing every fear. Spoken through the silence by our Father's voice, tender, strong, and faithful, making us rejoice. So 727, the tune is Onward Christian Soldiers, and we're going to stand as we sing together, please.
Thank you. Let's just pray together before the Lord at the throne of grace. The closing words of that final verse, resting on his promise. What have we to fear? God is all sufficient for the coming year. We rejoice in that knowledge and in the comfort and encouragement of it our hearts today. Heavenly Father, we approach thy throne and we rejoice of the continual access that we have into your presence. Thank you, the way is ever open. We cry, Father, that you'll give us a desire to avail more of the privilege that we have to seek thee at the throne of grace. We want to come, Father, to thee today with praise. We want to thank you for bringing us safely to the end of this another year. We want to thank you, Father, for the blessings that we've known. We have to acknowledge that those blessings have been many, they've been manifold. We thank, Father, of how every day it has pleased thee to shower down your blessings upon us, provide for us all that we have needed. Forgive us, Father, for taking those blessings for granted. We want to take the opportunity in worship and in prayer today to give thee just the deepest thanks of our hearts for all that you've done for us during this year of 2023. Thank you for the blessing and the help of God that we've known in our families and amongst our loved ones. And we want to thank you, Father, for the help that we've known in the work of God here in this congregation. Praise thee for your presence in the meetings. We want to thank you, Father, for how you've blessed the services and every outreach. We thank you for all that has been done and accomplished in the name of Christ our Saviour and the cause of the gospel. We can say today that it's the Lord's doing and it's marvellous in our eyes. Thank you for those hearts that have been touched, those that have been spoken to, those that have been brought to Christ through the witness of this congregation during this past year, even little ones, Father, in the congregation. And we want to thank you for that. We take these things from your hand as tokens for good. And we want to pray, Father, it may please thee even to give us greater blessings in the year that lies before us. We want to thank you too, Father, for how you've provided for us as a congregation. We rejoice, Father, that every need of this church has been supplied and provided. We want to thank you for the congregation, for their faithfulness. Thank you for all that labour so tirelessly and so diligently to forward the work of God in this congregation. And Lord, we pray that they might be encouraged. Thank you for the words that we've read of our motto text for this year, the blessing, that this verse has been the comfort and encouragement to all of our hearts, that you're not unrighteous to forget our work and labour of love. And Lord, we want to pray, encourage every member of this church, encourage every leader and every worker. We want to pray, Father, that they will even hear of how their labours have been blessed and owned of God. We remember that you've said, Father, we're not to despise the day of small things. We're conscious that we're found, Father, in such times and in such days. And while others might scorn the work that is being done, Lord, we rejoice that you do not despise the witness of the gospel and the work of your people. And we ask thee, Lord, to give us even today tokens of your favour. Grant us, Father, evidence in this church and in these meetings of the blessing of God resting upon this testimony. Our prayer would be in your will, Father, as we step out into the new year of 2024, even tomorrow. We pray, Father, that you'll lead this work on. Pray for a lengthening of our cords, a strengthening of our stakes. We pray that the work will advance onward then, as we have been singing together and forward. We pray that that will be, Father, our experience in every department of this congregation. We pray it will be a year of increase, and we pray it might be a year of progress. And we pray, Father, most of all, it will be a year of soul winning. Give us back, Father, even individually, a deeper burden to reach the lost for Christ. And we pray that we'll have that greater vision even to reach this city for the Saviour, even as a congregation. Lord, let this city be blessed under the preaching of the gospel. Remember what you did in Samaria those many years ago when Philip went down and preached Christ unto them. We think, Father, of how revival came to that city. And Lord, we would pray, do the same. We pray that many this year in Armagh will come to Christ. We pray, Father, that it might even be a year of God's blessing and a year of revival. We want to ask, Father, guide us through this year. Guide us personally. We pray that you'll keep us, Lord, in the center of your will. We pray that you'll save us from going astray. We pray, Father, we might ever be in the place where we can be used and blessed of God. We pray the same, Father, for us as a congregation. We ask thee to guide the office bearers. We do thank you for each office bearer of this church, the session, and the committee, men that are born again of the Spirit. And Lord, we pray for the hand of God to be upon our office bearers. Our prayer would be that you'll guide them, give them the wisdom that is needed. We pray for divine wisdom. We ask, Lord, for wisdom from on high for every decision that has to be made. And Lord, we want to pray that they will be like those men of Issachar, men with an understanding of the times and that know what Israel ought to do. We ask thee, especially today, keep your hand upon those that are unwell. Remember the senior members of our congregation. Father, those that can't be out of these meetings, no longer able to attend. Our prayer is that they would know your presence. We pray you'll give them grace. May it please thee to give them even a touch from your hand, the healing touch of God. Remember those in hospital, those in nursing homes. Remember the families here that have loved ones unwell that they're caring for and they're concerned for, much upon their hearts. Give them the grace that is needed, the guidance for these days, the strength as well for all of the added burdens and responsibilities. We rejoice in the promise of your word, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. So we pray, Father, give to each the help and strength that is needed just for this time. So we ask you to hear our prayers. We give our service now into your hands. Our desire is, Father, to glorify thee through this meeting today. We pray that all we do, all that is said, might be to the glory of our God. And we just commit the way before now into thy hands. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The words of the second paraphrase, please, we're going to sing together. They're appropriate for this time of the year. O God of Bethel, by whose hand thy people still are fed, who through this weary pilgrimage hast all our fathers led. We're acknowledging God's provision, his blessing, his guidance, and his care. Think of the words, they're familiar to us. Sometimes when the words are very familiar, we don't give them the thought and consideration we should. So the second paraphrase, please, and we're standing as we sing together.
Thank you.
We ask you to take the scriptures, please. We're going to read together in the Word of God. Reading in the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles. We're in the 20th chapter. And we want to read together just the closing section of this passage of God's Word. Acts chapter 20, the verse 17. Mention is made in verse 17 of Miletus and of Ephesus. Both of those are in modern day Turkey, out on the western coast. If you've ever been on Kusadasi, most of the cruise ships that go to Turkey, especially those that want to go to Ephesus, sails into Kusadasi. And Miletus is just a little south of there, maybe 20 miles or thereabouts. Ephesus is up to the north from that port. So verse 17 of Acts 20 is telling us, and from Miletus, this is of the Apostle Paul, it says farewell, really, to the Ephesian elders. But from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, you know from the first day that I came into Asia, remember this is Asia Minor, that whole western section of what is now modern day Turkey, where the seven churches of Asia Minor are located, that are mentioned in Revelation 2 and 3. He says, you know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn every one night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so labouring ye ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all, and they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him onto the ship. So closing there, at the end of the chapter, praying that the Lord will be pleased today by his Spirit to come and bless the public reading of his word to all our hearts. Thank you for your presence at our morning service. We're glad to see all that have been able to join with us. Be assured that we appreciate your presence with us today. We trust you've known the Lord's presence and blessing with you and your families over the Christmas time. We welcome many that are visiting with us in the service today. Pray that you'll be blessed by the meeting and especially our time around the Word of God. It's good to see the children and the young people that have come along to the service this morning, especially at this time when the Sunday school and Bible classes are off for a little break. We want you to know that we appreciate your faithful attendance at the meetings today as well. And we welcome any that are looking into the service on the live stream. We're glad that you've been able to join us for our morning worship as well. Remember, please, the service tonight. 6 o'clock is the prayer meeting downstairs in the church hall. We invite you to come and give time to seek the Lord for his blessing. Then 6:30 is our evening meeting. It'll be our special end-of-year gospel service. We don't hold a watch night service, but on the last Sabbath evening of every year, we hold a special gospel meeting. This year it falls right on the very end of the year, on New Year's Eve itself. There will be a word of testimony by our brother, Mr. David McCauley, from the Hebron Church in Ballymoney. Our brother's an outgoing missionary to Uganda, currently engaged in deputations. And there will be messages and song by George Hewitt and also by Paul and Sam. They'll bring a little musical item for us just as well. And there'll be a brief thank you video from the mission board that we played in the service, also produced at the end of this year, to give thanks for all that have supported the work of the gospel out there in the land of Uganda. And then the will of the Lord, I'll speak very briefly just at the close of the service. So do remember that special meeting, please. We encourage you to come. And if you have some folk visiting with you, take the opportunity to invite and encourage them along to the service as well. Remember, Wednesday night at 8, the midweek prayer meeting and a Bible study, the first of this incoming new year of 2024. We will encourage you to come along, that we can commit ourselves and the work here, the witness of the church, into the Lord's hand, and pray that early in the year he will give us tokens for good in our labours. The Christmas missionary offering taken last Sabbath day for the Bible Spreading Union, so far the total is £1,275. We do thank you all for your generous giving to that special offering. Remember, you can still add to it if you haven't had opportunity to give to it as yet.
put the gift in an envelope and mark it for the Bible spreading union. Next Lord's Day, the 7th of January, the Sunday school and Bible classes, remember, are still off next week. They will be back again on the 14th of January. 11:30 is our morning service. We'll be preaching on the new motto text for 2024. There will be communion immediately after the morning service, and then the evening gospel meeting at 6:30, and Pastor Victor Maxwell will be with us to speak on the life of the late Dr. Bill Woods. He will bring to us the tribute and a little challenge as well for missionary service. The tribute that he brought at the recent memorial service to Dr. Woods. So plan to be with us for both of those meetings, and we ask you to make them known to others and invite them to come and join with us as well. And do remember the seasons of prayer, half an hour before both meetings. Take time to look at the literature that's available at the doors as you're leaving the meetings today as well. Also, the Cookstown Church are having a youth rally this evening. They generally have youth rallies on the 5th Lord's Day. There's a month with 5 Lord's Days. So they're having youth rally tonight. It's beginning a little later than the usual time at 9 o'clock. The speaker is Pastor Dennis Lyle, now retired, formerly the pastor of Lurgan Baptist Church. There is to be some refreshments afterwards, and then there's going to be a time of late praise for the young people to bring in the new year. So praise and fellowship together to see in the new year of 2024. We take the opportunity to thank you all for your faithful support of the church here during this year of 2023. All the support that you've given by your prayers, your attendance, your labours in the various departments of the church, your generous giving to the work of the gospel. We want to thank you for your support and commitment in all of these ways to the congregation here. Remember that it is by your support and by your commitment that the gospel witness here is maintained and the gospel witness is advanced. So we take the opportunity on the last Lord's Day, the last day of this year, on behalf of the oversight, to assure you that all that you have done in the cause of the gospel here is very much appreciated. Our prayer is that the Lord will lead us all into days of great blessing. Pray that 2024, that the Lord will lead us on to greater heights of blessing with himself. And we take the opportunity too to wish you and all of your family as well a very happy and a very prosperous 2024. We're going to sing another hymn together, please. It's a challenging hymn, one of those hymns that should cause us to think a little of our walk with the Lord. It's the hymn 479 in the book, "Search Me, O God, My Actions Try, and Let My Life Appear, as seen by thine all-searching eye, to mind my ways make clear." So 479, and again we'll stand as we sing, please.
Thank you.
we're just going to seek the Lord together. We'll take a moment just to set our hearts as we come to the Word of God. Father, we acknowledge your faithfulness to us today. We praise thee for it. We thank you too for a faithful people. We thank you for all that have faithfully supported and labored in this congregation during this past year. We want to praise thee, Father, for the labors of each one. We ask that you'll encourage every heart, even on this final day of this old year. Lord, we thank you for sparing us each to see it. Thank you for giving us the health to be in the house of God. We pray, Father, it may please thee, even to give us each many more years in the service of the Master. We pray that you'll keep us faithful. Save us, Father, from wandering away from thee, from stepping out of your will. Save us, Father, from falling into sin. We want to pray, Father, that you'll help us to redeem the time that you give to us. Help us to seize every opportunity, even to work for Christ and to win souls. We want to pray, Father, that as a church you'll open to us new doors of opportunity, new doors of outreach. We thank, Father, of all that is planned for this new year. And yet we know, Father, that without thee we can do nothing. But except the Lord build the house, they labour in vain that build it. We're mindful especially of the gospel meetings planned for the summertime down in Tynan. We commit, Father, those meetings into your hands. Our burden is that that would be a time of soul winning. Pray that many in that community will be brought to Christ in salvation. We pray for a stirring of God. Remember the stirring in the days of David, the move of the Spirit in the mulberry trees. O God, give to us those times of stirring as well, that that whole community and even much further afield will be moved at that time. Lord, bless us now. Thank you for your word. We thank you that you have blessed us with the scriptures. We ask, Father, that we would have a deeper burden for the word of God, a greater hunger to read and to study it. We ask that you'd open the scriptures to us. We would pray that we'll hear your voice. We would plead, Father, for that blessing even now as we meditate upon your word. And we pray that the message today will be preached in the power of the Holy Ghost. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The book of Acts, please, chapter 20, and the verses 26 and 27, we want to take as our text especially. It's a tremendous portion of the word of God. Acts chapter 20, verse 26, the apostle says, "Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." The theme of our Bible study this Sabbath morning is ending the year with a clear conscience. I'd like to think of that title just for a moment before we move into the message itself. Consider your own conscience and think of ending the year with a clear conscience. It's interesting that the Treasury of the United States government has what they call a conscience fund. They have a specific department, specific office in the Treasury that is designated to the management of that conscience fund. It was commenced a little over 200 years ago in the year 1811. Whenever a letter was sent into the Treasury by a citizen of the nation, and the letter was accompanied with $6. They sent in $6 to the Treasury. And in the note they stated that they had been suffering the most painful pangs of conscience. They had been troubled about not paying their taxes as they should. $6 mightn't seem very much to us, but remember
200 years ago, that was probably quite a bit of money. Whenever I read the article about the Conscience Fund, the article had been written just a little over 50 years ago, at the beginning of the 1970s. And up until that time, the Conscience Fund had received a total of $3 million. It's probably much more today. The biggest year of income for the Conscience Fund in the United States was 1950, $370,285 was received in that year alone. The biggest payment came in at the end of the 19th century, the end of the 1800s, and it was from a person in London. It was thought to be a citizen of the United States who had left the country, moved to England, but had no peace of mind. And that gift, the biggest payment, was $14,250. So that was quite a sizable amount for the end of the 19th century. Generally, every envelope that contained money that was sent into that Conscience Fund, into the office, was accompanied by a note with a message from the sender. Some of the messages included words like, "I'll sleep better now." People had lost their sleep and so greatly troubled about how they had defrauded the government. And the message in particular that I want to emphasize is, "I want to have a clear conscience." So that was the reason why that person had sent in the money that they did. They knew their conscience wasn't clear before the government and before God. So I want you to think of those words. "I want to have a clear conscience." So think of that, a clear conscience. And ask yourself the question, do you have one? Do you have such? As the year 2023 is very quickly running out and drawing to a close, can you say today that you have a clear conscience? Remember, one of the ways that we are fearfully and wonderfully made is that God has given to each one of us a conscience. The conscience is that moral arbitrator that is found within us. God is interested in your actions, how you conduct yourself, how you behave. God is interested in your words, the things that you say. Keep in mind as well that God is interested and he knows your thoughts, all that goes on in your heart and mind. But never forget that God is also interested in your conscience, the condition of your conscience. We sometimes say of people, they act as if they have no conscience because of their reckless behavior. But the reality, men and women, is that everybody has a conscience. And at some time or other, if you do wrong, that conscience will come into effect. That conscience will speak. That conscience will trouble you. So how is it with you today? On New Year's Eve 2023, how is it with your conscience? As you look back on this year, and as you look back on your life, is your conscience accusing or excusing? Is your conscience troubling you about something you've done or something maybe that you haven't done, left undone? Or have you a quiet conscience? Is your conscience at peace with you and with God? The New Testament talks about a good conscience. And brethren and sisters, that's the way that we should want to live every day of our lives. The New Testament also speaks, and I encourage you to take a little time to look up the various references in the Bible to conscience, but the New Testament also speaks about a conscience void of offence towards God. It's not a great blessing to be able to say that you have a conscience void of offence towards God. Christians should have a conscience that is always at peace with God. You're always doing those things that are right, those things that are pleasing in his sight. When we talk about a clear conscience, remember that person that wrote the letter said, "I want to have a clear conscience." Whenever we talk about a clear conscience, that means that we have done what is right. Especially we've done the things that please God. We're living in a way that we have absolutely nothing to be concerned about, or absolutely nothing to be worried about. A clear conscience. And Paul had such, the Apostle Paul had such, as he made this statement, his final farewell to the church at Ephesus. He had a clear conscience. Remember, he's leaving Ephesus after 3 years of very intensive ministry and evangelism among them. They're standing on the beach. They're standing on the shore. There at Miletus, remember, on the western side of what is now modern Turkey. Just picture the scene, the setting in your mind. So they're standing on the beach, and the passage says that at the end he knelt down. So they're all kneeling on the sand. They're all kneeling there on the shore. And he's saying farewell. He's bidding farewell. It's a very emotional statement, a very emotional speech that he makes to these Ephesian elders. And as he's leaving them to go on his journey, to carry on with his missionary work, he knows that he did all that he could. He knows that he has done all that he should as a servant of God and as a preacher of the gospel. He knows he has done all that he should among them. Paul had a clear conscience. And I want us to ask, brethren and sisters, what about each of us in the service today? Are you ending the year of 2023 with a conscience that is clear before God and before men? Notice that Paul could say that, first of all, he had a clear conscience evangelistically. The verse 26, the statement that he makes, "Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men." I want you to ponder those words, that statement. That, brethren and sisters, is a staggering statement from the lips of the Apostle Paul. Just to highlight for you, to emphasize that he's referring us back there to the prophet Ezekiel. Remember that if you warn the wicked of his ways, then you'll be clear of the blood. If you fail to warn the wicked, then his blood will I require at thine hand. So it's those words of Ezekiel that the apostle has in mind, that he's thinking of as he makes this statement, pure of the blood of all men. What that means is that during those 3 years in Ephesus, everyone had heard the gospel. Everyone had been warned. In fact, if you read the account a little earlier in the Acts of the Apostles of Paul's time in Ephesus, it actually says that all Asia had heard the word of the gospel. That's tremendous. So he can leave that city, leave that locality, knowing that everyone had heard the gospel. He could go and stand at the judgment, stand before God at the judgment seat, knowing that no one could lift their finger and point their finger at him and say he had not told them, he had not warned them of their danger and of their need of Christ as Saviour. That's a tremendous thing. So brethren and sisters, have you a clear conscience today evangelistically? Could you make that statement that Paul makes in verse 26? Could you say that you're pure of the blood of not some or most, but pure of the blood of all men? Have you witnessed to all of your family? Have you witnessed to all of your neighbours? The people that you work with, the people that you study with, those folk that you see regularly from day to day. Have you done all that you can to reach your city, to reach your community for Christ with the gospel? Or would God have to say, remember what he said to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15, that some have not the knowledge of God. Some of your family, your friends, your neighbours and so on. Some have not the knowledge of God. And I speak this to your shame. That's something that you ought to be ashamed of as a child of God. You have to hang your head in shame because of the lack of evangelistic efforts that you have made. Remember the woman in the scriptures, it was Mary of Bethany. Remember what the Lord Jesus said, the testimony that he gave of her? She hath done what she could. And remember, men and women, at the end of the day, that's all the Lord expects of any of us. Some are able to do more than others. Some because of opportunities, because of gifts, because of the means the Lord has blessed you with. And remember that all the things that God gives to each of us we'll have to account for. The Bible talks about stewardship. We'll give account of our stewardship. So some are able to do more than others. But all the Lord expects of any of us is to do what we can with the gifts and talents that he has bestowed upon us. She did what she could. Have you done the same? Have you done what you could in 2023 to spread the gospel message of God's redeeming grace? Or do you know today, would you have to acknowledge, at least acknowledge to the Lord himself, that you could have done more? You could have done more in his work, and you could have done more in his service. Remember, Amos, the prophet, speaks, and he brings that message. Woe unto them that are at ease in Zion. I wonder if you fall into that category in this church, this congregation. One of those that are taking it easy. You're making little or no effort as far as labouring for Christ and spreading the gospel, being a witness for Christ is concerned. If that is the case, how sad. How sad that is, brethren and sisters. So here is the apostle with a clear conscience evangelistically. And I want you to think of that and ask, is your conscience clear at the end of 2023 regards the souls of men and women, the souls of others, the souls of those that you have had the opportunity, the responsibility to reach for Christ? Notice as well, he could say, in a clear conscience doctrinally. If you look at verse 27, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. All the counsel of God. That means the mind of God, the truth of God. God's revealed will, as he has given it to us in the Bible, the teachings of the scriptures. So Paul is saying to these elders, as they meet in Miletus that day, that he could leave the city of Ephesus knowing that he had preached to them the counsel of God. He hadn't preached fables, as he spoke about and warned of in other places in the New Testament. He hadn't preached a watered-down message. It's not so familiar in the days in which we live. How many church services, how many funeral services have you attended? And you've heard a watered down, heavily, strongly watered down message of the gospel being set forth before the people. That's not how Paul preached when he was in Ephesus. He didn't seek just to tickle their ears or entertain the people. He preached God's counsel, God's truth. He preached the word of God and the word of the gospel. Even more than that, he said that he had preached all the counsel of God. Sometimes we describe that as the whole counsel of God. In other words, he preached the word of God in every part, every truth, every doctrine of the gospel, and every fundamental doctrine that's set forth in the word of God. It wasn't just his favorite themes or the people's favorite themes. It wasn't just what they liked to hear or what they wanted to hear. He preached to the people what they needed to hear and what they needed to be taught from the word of God. It is true that sometimes preachers can be predictable. They often preach in the same themes. They have pet themes or what are sometimes called hobby horses. A student that was in the college at the same time that we were in would generally, at every gospel service, preach on the subject of hell. Those are things that Dr. Cook would seek to highlight, emphasize, give a little guidance, a little bit of counsel upon. If you have read the history of Presbyterianism here in this province, you know that there was a revival down in Antrim called the 6 Mile Water Revival. The man that was instrumental of God in bringing about that revival was a man called Glendinning. He wasn't completely stable as far as his mental capacity was concerned, and he generally only preached on law and wrath to the people. And yet the Lord used him, took him up and used him. But brethren and sisters, our responsibility is to preach on every doctrine of the Word of God. The Great Commission, as we go forth to the nations of the earth, is teaching them to observe all things, not some of the things, but all things whatsoever I have commanded unto you. You think of your dinner. You wouldn't just want to have carrots for your dinner. And you certainly just wouldn't want to have carrots or turnip for your dinner every day, all the time. The need for us, if we're going to be healthy, the need is to have a balanced meal. We need to have all foods, a good and wide variety of foods. And the same is true spiritually. God's people need teaching on all of God's truth. If that's not the case, they will not grow, they will not develop, they will not progress, they will not mature properly as they ought to, as the people of God. So clear conscience doctrinally. And I urge you to have the same. Don't talk, don't teach. Some of you are in teaching positions in the church, the congregation. But don't talk and teach just on one doctrine or one part of the scripture. You need to study and you need to teach about all the counsel of God. And what that means, men and women, is it will take work. It will take time. It will take effort. You will need to discipline and push yourself just a little further. Remember that the Bible describes those who study as workmen that need not to be ashamed. Those that labour in the word and doctrine. So I encourage you, as we enter into the new year, ask God for the grace. Ask him for the enabling of his spirit to study and to work a little more in the reading and the understanding and the proclamation of his word. The final one we'll emphasize is that he had a clear conscience financially. Look at verse 33 of the chapter. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Paul's telling us here, the record is stated, his finances were in order as far as his life and dealings with the church and the city of Ephesus was concerned. He could look back in those 3 years and there was nothing that would cause him any concern or any regret with regard to how he had handled his financial affairs. So I ask you today, brethren and sisters, what about you? At the end of 2023, have you a clear conscience financially? You know, generally when people fall, when God's people fall, there are two areas in particular, the two most prominent. Both begin with M, morals and money. Those are the two areas for us to be most careful to guard against, very, very especially. So what about you today as far as your conscience and money is concerned? You think of that conscience fund I mentioned to you at the beginning of the meeting. Those people that sent in money to the United States Treasury, they didn't have a clear conscience financially, especially with regard to the taxes that they owe to the government. So just think of that. Consider the questions. Have you paid all your taxes in 2023? Have you paid all your bills? Paul warned in his letter to the church at Rome, owe no man anything. And that's written especially in the context there of paying tribute, paying our taxes to the legitimate government that is over us. So, owe no man anything. We sometimes would use the expression, owe no man a copper. Do you know the story of Mr. Nicholson when he was preaching down in the town of Newton Ards? Those days of great blessing.
There was a man that he spoke to up the town one day. He was a shop owner. Nicholson was urging him to come along to the meetings and hear the gospel. The man said, I wouldn't come to those meetings. Wouldn't go to that church. So many people in that congregation owe me a lot of money. He had a book where he kept the accounts. People would come in and get things from the shop and put it on the slate, as we sometimes would say, an intention to pay it at a later time. And the bills had run on and on and on. Mr. Nicholson was very disappointed in what he heard. He said to the man, would you loan me that book? So that night in the meeting, he stood up and he said that there's a shop in this town. Didn't name the shop. There's a shop in this town, and a lot of the Christians, the members of this church, have a lot of bills that are outstanding in that shop. He says, I have the book here. Lifted it up and held it, showed it to the congregation. And every shop in the town had their bills settled in that incoming week. But isn't it disappointing? Isn't it a bad testimony? Bad reputation? We used those words a little earlier. I speak this to your shame. What a shame that is on God's people and on the Church of Jesus Christ. So are all your bills paid? Clear conscience, financially, at the end of 2023. Your business deals, they've been honourable, above board. Or have you cheated and deceived someone into buying something of them that you said was really of no value? Didn't give them the full price, the full worth of what you were actually purchasing from them? Have you paid for all that you have? Haven't stolen anything from another person? Remember Paul writing to the Ephesians said, let him that stole steal no more. Isn't it interesting that he would have to write that, include that in the letter to those Ephesian believers? Does that not suggest or give the indication that there was still a bit of stealing? Still some thieves amongst the membership there, some that were taking things that didn't belong to them. Remember the story of the man in a testimony meeting giving up to say, I'm standing tonight on redemption ground. We often use those words. And the man in the back of the meeting shouted up, you're a liar. You're standing in a pair of shoes that you bought in my shop and you have never paid for them yet. So just think of those things, brethren and sisters. Paid all your bills. Paid for all that you have. Have you paid your tithe to God? Given to God's work the rightful portion of your income? Remember those solemn words of Malachi the prophet. Will a man rob God? We've been thinking there a moment or so ago about robbing others. How serious that is, men and women. Will a man rob God? Wherein have we robbed thee in tithes and in offerings? Remember that the offering is something that we give beyond the tithe. The tithe is his. That's the teaching of the scriptures. The tithe is his by right. Notice that in the text, verse 33, that it's especially covetousness that is being emphasized. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Covetousness is when you're longing or lusting after money and property and the possessions of others. Remember the 10th commandment? Keep in mind that the Roman Catholic Church divides the 10th commandment and makes it into the 9th and 10th. That's sometimes the reason why when you hear Roman Catholics talking that what for us is the 4th commandment, for them is just the 3rd commandment, because they've taken the 2nd commandment out of the scripture, so every one of them moves back a place. And they've divided the 10th commandment, thou shalt not covet thy neighbour's house, and then the words are repeated, thou shalt not covet thy neighbour's wife. So they make a division there. And then the rest of it, and thy manservant, thy maidservant, thine ox, and thine ass. So the 10th commandment forbids covetousness. Thou shalt not covet. And the New Testament says, beware of covetousness, which is idolatry. Isn't that interesting how covetousness is described, categorized in the New Testament scriptures? But covetousness is sin.
breaks the command. Something we should beware of, something we should guard against. Covetous makes an idol out of material things. The lottery, so prevalent in the days in which we live. In the news again, here in this province, in the last couple of days. Remember that the lottery breaks the 10th commandment. It's coveting. It's longing, lusting after more money, more riches, more of this world's goods. A Christian, brethren and sisters, is not to be covetous. A Christian should be marked by being content. Paul said, having food and raiment therewith, to be content. Be ye content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake ye. So have you a clear conscience today financially? As far as all your finance, all your dealings is concerned. I want to have a clear conscience. But that should be true of us all, brethren and sisters. And we've emphasized some from this passage, evangelistically, doctrinally, and financially. Let me conclude just with this. The scribes and the Pharisees, it was the story of the woman taken at adultery. Remember when the Lord Jesus knelt down and he wrote something on the ground, wrote something on the earth. That's a very interesting part of the story. The Bible records immediately after that of the scribes and Pharisees being convicted in their own conscience. And if that's your condition today, at the outcome of this message, if your conscience is convicted, if it's not clear, if you don't have the clear conscience that we've been emphasizing on any of these subjects that we've highlighted or on any other subject, remember that when the preacher brings a message, the Holy Ghost can bring other things to your mind that haven't even been touched upon. That often happens. That's how the Spirit of God works. Bring other things to your mind. Bring other things to your heart. So if you're convicted in your conscience today on any of the subjects that we've mentioned or on any other area of your life, then I urge you to address that. Go and sort it out, whatever it is. Go and put it right at the end of this year and as we enter into, God willing, tomorrow, the new year. I urge you to finish the year 2023 and start the new year 2024 with a clear conscience. And live every day, God willing, of 2024. And live every day of the Christian life that God in His mercy gives to us. As Paul did during those days in Ephesus. With that clear conscience, void of offence towards God. 411, please. We'll sing the words together, the three short verses. I want, dear Lord, a heart that's true and clean, a sunlit heart with not a cloud between, a heart like thine, a heart divine, a heart as white as snow. On me, dear Lord, a heart like this bestow. So 411, we'll stand to sing, please. Thank you.
Father, we commit ourselves to Thee at the close of our meeting. Thank You for Your word. Thank You for the challenge of it. We want to pray, Father, grant us grace to live for Thee. Help us to walk circumspectly before others and before this accusing generation in which we're found. Help us, Father, every day to live and to do those things that are pleasing in Thy sight. We're conscious that we need Your help. We pray for the grace and the power of God. And Lord, we think of the words that we've just sung. I want, dear Lord, a soul on fire for Thee. Lord, we ask to give to each of us such a heart. Set us and this church even on fire in the spread of the gospel in this community. Be with us now. And we ask that as we leave Your house, that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit will rest and remain and abide with each one, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.